Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nice enough to come on is Dave Lennon from Newsday to talk a little bit about the Mets signing Betances and just the general feeling around baseball, where we have gotten some signings this year. We haven't had to wait as long for some big names to find homes. Dave, happy holidays. How are you?
Hey, Chris, how are you? Happy holidays.
We appreciate you coming on, giving us a little insight. It's been a pretty good month of December for baseball. They've made some splashes. They've had some big-name free agents sign. And, you know, the balance of power, I don't know how much it's shifted, but there's some interest out there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, Chris, that, you know, the one year that MLB was trying to take an active role in sort of artificially speeding up free agency, they had talked to the union about setting deadlines for free agents, you know, like they do with the NBA and the NFL, because they wanted that big shopping frenzy. All those talks fell through, of course. You know, baseball is a, you know, kind of a, the free market system doesn't lean itself to that. But what they got anyway was that shopping spree. I mean, the winter meetings, you know, you saw the top three guys come off the board. And we've seen it really kind of a set, steady stream of free agent signing before the new year, which for baseball is progress, and I think it's good for the sport.
Yeah, and you see the White Sox jump in and try to become – it's what's nice, I think, for baseball, Dave, and I'm sure you'd agree, and I'm sure Rob Manfred agrees. It's some of the forgotten teams, as the league has become top-heavy, aren't sitting quietly and saying, oh, it's okay, you know, we'll just be losers for a while. They're trying to change their fate.
Yeah, I mean, in the case of the White Sox, like you mentioned, Chris, I mean, that was a team that, you know, had been kind of gearing up for this offseason, kind of been, you know, hoarding money, as you will, to try to finally spend it, which they've done to some degree. You know, I think what baseball would like, certainly the union would like, is to see that spent more liberally among a number of teams instead of teams, you know, taking the year off, as we've seen in plenty of other markets. So I don't think it's really gone widespread across the league, but I think if you do see at least teams getting reengaged, like the White Sox, you know, the Padres kind of go, you know, spend a bunch, reload, spend a bunch, reload. So
yeah,
the teams, you know, it's not like, you know, the regulars, you know, Boston's kind of been taking the winter off so far.
Yes, they have.
Some of the other big markets.
But Ryu going to Toronto.
Right. I mean, so you have seen Toronto spend some money, which is good to get them back. So, yeah, you are seeing some names you don't usually see being more active this winter.
I thought the Mets dropped the ball a little bit with Romine, although he may have wanted to be in the American League. He may have wanted to be a more of a full-time catcher, and he may have wanted the opportunity to DH some. But they came back to me a little bit by signing Betances. I thought that was a smart signing, and I thought it would be competitive and difficult to get him, even with his checkered background health-wise and control-wise. He still can be dominant at times in an age where, as you know, everybody needs 6-7 relievers that they can rely on. It was a very good Christmas present for Met fans in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Chris, that a lot of us had him circled as a Mets possibility when this offseason began for the reasons you mentioned. I mean, he's coming off, you know, two significant health issues from last year, you know, and as we know with the Mets trying to pick off some undervalued assets, you know, he was a guy that was going to have to look for a one-year deal or kind of a cleverly, you know, structured contract, which the Mets gave him, in order to kind of rebuild his value and to prove his health. Now, Betances as a pitcher, when he's healthy, great, no question. Strikeout machine, you know, all Mets fans are very familiar with him clearly because he plays across town. That gives him a lot more insight. He, you know, you're going to know him better than you would if he pitched for Pittsburgh, you know, or Seattle, in some cases. So you've seen a lot of him close up. I am worried, Chris, about the injuries that he had, because for a pitcher, obviously, you know, to miss most of the year with shoulder issues, is worrisome. Then he came back and struck out two guys, looked like his old self at the end of the year, and then had the Achilles problem, which, again, for a pitcher's base, you know, that's very important. You know, the Achilles, the foot problems, knees, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's not all just arm-related. When you have problems with the base, too, that could be an issue. But from our reports so far, and the Mets did run him through a batch of physicals before signing him, so far, he seems like he should be okay to start the year.
Yeah,
at least for spring training.
6 foot eight, too. So, you know, we worry about the tall guys across the board. We've gotten used to worrying about the tall guys over time. We're coming to you live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses are only at ShopRite. Chris Moore here with Dave Lennon of Newsday, talking baseball on this Thursday afternoon after Christmas. And interesting conversation, too, because a lot of optimism around both teams now. The Mets certainly have made the kind of changes, or some of them, and with that starting staff to make you feel very good. The flip side, if you are looking for potholes, is that, boy, that division looks like it's going to be good, Dave.
Yeah, that is the problem. You know, as much as the Mets have, you know, kind of, you know, made, the bullpen was a big area of concern for them, and Betances is surely going to help with that, especially if they get some bounce back from other guys like Diaz. But you're right. I mean, you're dealing with the defending world champs and the Nats, obviously. They lost Rendon, so that's a big loss for them, clearly. But they got Strasburg back. The Phillies certainly got better in adding Didi Gregorius and Zach Wheeler. And the Braves, obviously. How can I leave them out?
No, they're young, too. Power.
Yep, and also, you know, improved themselves this winter and have showed the ability now to kind of spend some money when they have to get better. So, yeah, I mean, the Mets have their work cut out for them. I mean, Chris, like everybody knows, you know, the rotation remains a huge strength for the Mets, you know, in Waka and Porcello. I know those were, you know, low-cost signings, but, you know, they needed to add some rotation depth there. There could be some big upside. And, you know, the offense with Alonso, we'll see what comes back and see what some of those other guys can do. I'm not really holding out much hope on Cespedes, to be honest with you, based on what he's trying to come back from. But, yeah, I mean, the division is going to be as tough as it's ever been, really.
And Dave, for you guys covering these teams and covering baseball in general, but the New York focus, a lot of interesting characters that have to be dealt with here. You got Dom Smith, you got J.D. Davis, you got you know, the backup catcher situation with the Mets and how that plays out. You've got Mike Tauchman, you got Voit and Ford over at third base, you got, or at first base, you got Clint Frazier. You got some interesting fan-friendly, kind of fan-interested guys. You know, a lot of J.D. Davis fans, a lot of Dom Smith fans, but don't know if he fits with them. You know, it's got some interesting side players here that could go a long way to helping these teams succeed or hurting them and helping them fail. I mean, who knows? But it's interesting, isn't it, how many of these guys there are around?
Yeah, I mean, there's some intriguing names there for sure. And like you mentioned, we a lot of times we get on to, you know, fixated on the top heavy parts of the roster. You know, the Coles, the DeGroms, the Alonzos, you know, Aaron Judge, Stanton, those types.
Well, let me interrupt for a second and just tell you that I have been singing this for the last couple of years, but, you know, are you with me that it's never been more important to have a 26-man roster that you're proud of? I mean, now it's 26 going into this year, but it just seems to me that with the way pitchers are used and the way the game is played now, there's nowhere to hide. When I was growing up, maybe you could have 21 guys and three or four stiffs that rarely got opportunities to play and just sort of chipped in now and then. These days, I just feel like, wow, you just can't afford to carry dead wood on your team.
Well, I mean, Mets fans knew that for a long time just because of the amount of injuries they've had, and they've had good seasons, you know, decimated and basically ended, you know, when you have, you know, 10 guys gone for the season.
Yeah.
And Yankee fans, too. I mean, the Yankees have succeeded despite it, you know, but this is years where the Yankees have used 55 players or so to get through a year. You know, they've done it. They've won 100 games in doing so. But you're right, there are no bench warmers now, you know, and certainly in the National League, it's never really been that way because everybody's going to play. You're always going to need pinch hitters. I remember times not too long ago where pinch runners were important in the sport, maybe
yes,
not quite as much now.
Yeah,
but,
true.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to use the depth of your roster.
GM and relievers more important.
That now.
Yeah, you gotta get, I mean, you got to get 60, 70 outs a week, I figure, from your bullpen. If you play six games, you need an average of 10, 11 outs a night from your bullpen, which is basically the way the game is trending now. That's a lot of guys that have to be obviously healthy, but also have to contribute. You just can't hide guys. You can't have enough quality relievers. So it's just interesting to work the depth. And as you mentioned, last year's Yankees, a perfect example with what Talkman and Urshela and so many of these, Voit and Ford and so many of these guys brought when they really needed them.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder, Chris, a little bit that people, you know, we talk, at the winter meetings and, at the GM meetings, they become topics of conversation, and you wonder what trends are going to resurface. And I think one of the things we talked about more, and just basically watching how the playoffs went this year with the Nationals, will we see more of a swing back to the starting pitcher again? Because remember we talked about, oh, don't worry about the rotation. As long as you can get 5-plus out of those guys, you want to have your stacked bullpen lined up to just play matchup for the next four and get you through. Well, I wonder. The Yankees tried to be, they were cutting edge with that. They were one of the first teams to really stack that bullpen with a bunch of closers, to have three or four closer types in that bullpen. Now you see the worth of a Gerrit Cole, and you see the worth of a Steven Strasburg, and you see these guys who are going to be able to take the ball and pitch longer into games for you. So I think we might see a little bit more of an emphasis on that. Personally, I like to see that, because I think that's a big part about baseball. People like to watch those marquee matchups.
No doubt.
They like to see the Cole versus DeGrom games, the Subway Series. They like to see those big names. It's always been about that. And I know with the analytics, and we've got, and there's value, of course, in playing that matchup and having a great bullpen and using as many relievers as possible. But again, for the sport, and you want to see the attention on the sport, you want the, to people start liking those marquee matchups again. That's what I'd like to see us come back to a little bit.
Yeah, and you and I would agree, I'm sure, that the divergence between regular season baseball and postseason baseball has never been greater, really. And the way you can play in the regular season with that mix and match works fine. Tampa's done great with it. Obviously, the Yankees have won 100 games 2 years in a row with it. But then you get to the postseason, and maybe your thoughts are much more along the lines of what you just mentioned, where you'd much rather get 7 to 8 innings out of your starter. You don't want to have to mix and match and then do it again the next night and then do it again the next night against the same team, by the way. It definitely is a big divergence now in today's baseball between how you play the regular year and how you play the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, when you go into the playoffs, Chris, and like you touched on, was, if you want to keep using relievers like that, one, you raise a great point where in those type of series, you see the same guys over and over again. That familiarity becomes a problem. And two, when you use all those pitchers in the same game like that, it's a lot of moving parts.
Yep.
And it becomes an odds thing at that point. If one of those guys doesn't have it one night, then he's the weak link in the chain, and the chain breaks.
So absolutely.
We've seen it happen a lot. As good as those relievers are during the regular season and as locked down as they can be, October, they can cause you problems. And I think the Yankees, we've seen a little bit of that. The offense has kind of been quiet in October, which has hurt them. But, I think when you have a lot of those moving pieces, all it takes is one to break, and then the game goes downhill for you.
Yeah, because a lot of them are one-run games, one Adam Ottavino pitch in the wrong spot, and you don't have enough offense to come back, or they beat you a little bit with their guys. So it's definitely fascinating. Overall, as we said, pretty good offseason in baseball. I think that there's a good vibe around the game right now for the most part. What are you hearing, or where do you expect the Astros thing to go in terms of timing? What's your guess? What are the other guys saying? What do you believe about the Astros and the way the jurisprudence will play out?
It was fascinating, Chris, to hear Manfred talk about that at the winter meetings when he came out and said that they were going through 75,000 emails. And I mean, the sheer volume of things they were doing here. And of course, they want that to be out there because they want to show how they're doing their due diligence to get through this and to make sure, they're dotting the I's and crossing the T's in this investigation. So they want to be as thorough as possible. I expect them to come down extremely hard on the Astros. We have to be talking about draft punishment, certainly suspensions, whether it's to both Hinch and Luno, which wouldn't be surprising. It would surprise me, however, Chris, to see guys like Cora and Beltran suspended. I mean, to see MLB take the extraordinary step of actually suspending other teams' managers for infractions they made with the Astros, I'm not saying it's off the table, But that would really surprise me if that entered into the equation.
Yeah, trying to figure out where they'll draw the line is where the real drama and intrigue is, as to where the line is drawn. And, you know, because no one cares how much they get fined.
Right. You want, I mean, yeah, draft picks are huge for teams now.
Yes.
You know,
that
their franchise differences, and that really hurts them. And the suspensions as well. I mean, Hinch is a very good manager, obviously. Significant suspensions to him, and Luno, too. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, a powerhouse franchise like the Astros, to see where this leaves them, and to see the competition for the Yankees almost kind of fall by the wayside this year, you know, with the Red Sox not, you know, talking about cutting payroll, the Astros facing stiff penalties. You know, not only have the Yankees geared up for a huge year financially and adding Cole here, you know, some of their biggest opponents, you know, aren't going to be up to snuff, maybe.
What do you expect to happen with Frazier and Tauchman and some of the key fringe players that they, you know, the perfect problem to have for a team? You don't want to lose them because you really respect them, but you don't have enough opportunity to play them. What do you expect will happen?
I mean, it's clear how much the Yankees front office likes Tauchman, obviously. I mean, even when he was struggling when he first came over, they stuck with him and turned into a pretty good player by the end of that season.
Sure did.
He was a big contributor based on the injuries they had to their outfield. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be a valuable piece for them as far as fitting on the roster. Frazier is a guy, I mean, it surprises me that he's still on the team now, you know, as part of the organization. I would have thought they would have found a deal for him that they would have liked. And as his struggles have gone on, maybe he becomes harder to trade. So I just don't, obviously, I'm not alone in saying this or hardly breaking news, but it's really hard to see him with any type of extended future with the organization, just the way it's gone for him since he's been there. Things can change, obviously, but I expect, and like I have been, and like many people have, for him to be put in some kind of deal for a need, just hasn't happened yet.
Couple quick words on Dom Smith and J.D. Davis. Where do you expect their futures?
Yeah, Dom Smith is another guy that I expected the Mets to have put in a trade by now. Obviously, he's become a fan favorite, you know, that the Mets are cognizant of having a valuable chip on their team, and they're, you know, I think they can be, in Brody's case, who hasn't been a GM for a long time. You get nervous about making the right trade with somebody like that. You're worried about, as soon as you trade Dom Smith, does something happen to Pete Alonso?
Right.
And then you're already regretting not having him around. So Dom really just doesn't kind of fit on this team. You know, Alonso is a guy that plays every game, obviously. And as far as the outfield goes, you know, I think that's a spot for J.D. Davis. I mean, I really think he's not good defensively at third, and I think left field is kind of the spot for him. I think McNeil becomes your third baseman in the way they're currently aligned.
And Mookie Betts, let's finish with him. What happens with him?
Another guy that's very difficult to trade, especially for a first GM coming in. I know he's under a mandate to get rid of money. Mookie's going to make probably $28 million arbitration this year. That's a big hit. I think he stays on the Red Sox to start the year. I know there's been some speculation elsewhere to see him traded. That's a really difficult trade to make, and I would expect him to start the year with the Red Sox.
Dave, great conversation. Happy New Year to you. We'll talk again soon. Thanks so much.
Same to you, Chris. Thanks.
There you go. Dave Lennon, Newsday.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.